So the reading today continues through John, starting at chapter 28 to 40. Jesus before Pilate. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat at the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. This is the word of our Lord.
Sometimes a sermon title comes straight to you like a bullet and straight hits you straight. But this time, I've got a number of different, titles, but they all cover bits of it, but not all of it. So I originally entitled this one, Choice and Consequences. I'm afraid I'm a Jane Austen fan. And later as I revised, I've gone back to King. So somehow we'll get to the point of the sermon anyway. This is the third visit to the trials of Jesus before his crucifixion. 2 weeks ago, Chris reminded us there were 6 trials. 3 of those were religious and 3 political. Carol outlined the basis of the religious trials last week. The conclusion of these religious trials before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin was that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. As Carol mentioned last week, the Jewish leaders were concerned about Jesus' claim to be the Messiah, which went against all their teaching and understanding. In their eyes, this was a crime worthy of the death penalty. Whilst today we may not treat blasphemy with such drastic penalties, there are current criminal codes around the world which would treat blasphemy as a capital offence. Iran is one of them, but there are others. I can't remember when blasphemy was removed from our criminal code, but it's recent. That sort of time in my lifetime, I think. However, the Jewish leaders, as leaders of a subject nation, did not have the death penalty open to them. That was reserved for the Romans. And the Roman governor was the only one who could pass a death sentence. So they brought Jesus to Pilate. In order to justify a death penalty, they had to have a criminal offence. So they produced this one. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." That's from Luke's Gospel. Now, earlier, as we heard, Jesus had said, "I'm not a king, a revolutionary." That's in Mark's Gospel. And what they were actually accusing Jesus of at that point in time was what Barabbas had been imprisoned for. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in an uprising. That's revolution. Rebellion carried the death penalty, which is what the Jewish leaders were seeking. So the Jewish leaders had concocted the rebellion charge, which matched the crimes of Barabbas. Now we come to the political trials. The key one in John's Gospel has three phases. Firstly, the open one. They brought Jesus to the Pilate's residence, an open court in front of his house. And Jesus did not respond to the charges brought against him by the Jewish leaders. So Pilate was an astute enough politician to recognize that not all had been said in the open forum. So he took Jesus inside, away from the mob, and could question him in relative peace. The Jews, as we've seen, would not enter Pilate's house because he's a Gentile, and they were forbidden to consort with Gentiles, particularly before an important religious festival such as the Passover. So they had to stay outside. And then Jesus was asked directly by Pilate if he was a king. Jesus doesn't answer directly. He counters Pilate by saying, "Was this your idea, or has somebody been talking to you about me?" Pilate responds with the fact that the Jews had brought Jesus into the court with the charge. Now, what do we understand by the term king? A king is defined as either a male sovereign of an independent state or a man preeminent in a specific field. Kingship is either inherited or given by popular acclaim. We're familiar with the former. Our present king, Charles, inherited his position as the eldest male child of his late mother, Queen Elizabeth. However, in the past, that's not always been that way, as different siblings have competed for the right to rule. David was not the eldest of Jesse's children. In fact, he was the youngest. Yet it was he who was anointed by Samuel. Solomon wasn't David's eldest son, but he was chosen by David as his heir. Our own history has similar things. The crown of Scotland passed through many generations of a family, depending on who carried the largest popular vote. That's about 1500 years ago, but that was going on. Kingdoms were not uncommon in the Roman Empire. They were tolerated as long as they gave Rome no trouble. Self-governing little enclaves. Now, the notorious King Herod, which we can read about in Matthew 2, was a subservient king. However, there is a fine line between toleration and rebellion. As long as they wouldn't give the authorities any trouble, they could have their own rules. Now, all four accounts of the meeting between Jesus and Pilate contain a key question, and Jesus answered. Pilate's question, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus' reply to that question is, "Yes, I am king of the Jews." In John's record of this discussion, Jesus states that his kingdom cannot be understood in earthly terms, terms of land, of armies. If it were, there would have already been a rebellion and an insurrection to prevent Jesus being taken to Pilate. But his kingdom is not of this world. In the discussion about truth, which is only recorded in John's Gospel, Jesus states that he was born a king to testify to the truth. And those who were looking for the truth would listen to him. Now, Pilate is cynical about the truth. He's an educated Roman, and they have got a long history of playing around with words. But he is wise enough to conclude there is absolutely no validity in the Jewish leaders' charges against Jesus. He returns to the open forum and gives his verdict, saying that he finds there is no evidence to convict Jesus of the crimes. In Luke's Gospel, which talks about the another trial with Herod, who is the ruler of the Galilean region, and he found absolutely no validity. So all the political trials, Jesus is not guilty of the crimes he was condemned for. But was there a way out? Could it be avoided? We come to mob rule. Pilate recognized it was envy was the real reason why the Jewish leaders trumped up charges against Jesus. And so he sought to get Jesus released. He could see nothing wrong with him. Now, as Passover was coming, there was a tradition that the Roman governor would release a prisoner to the people at that time. So Pilate thought, well, I can get Jesus released. Unfortunately, we have a mob. And the mob was stirred up. And the mob had decided to show their will. All accounts record the cry of the crowd to release Barabbas and not Jesus. Now, we already know that Barabbas was a revolutionary, a murderer, and an insurrectionist. Yet, that was the one that the people wanted released. And then the Gospels move on to the cry of the people to crucify Jesus, to kill him. And of course, Pilate, being a governor, didn't want a riot in Jerusalem just prior to a big festival when the place was crowded. So the mob won. But that doesn't mean that it was finished. Yet what does that say to us today? The biggest temptation we have is to become one of a crowd. To become chameleon-like. To blend in. Our life is a testament to our beliefs and the standards that Jesus calls us to be different and live according to his standards. We often fail. If we're honest, both with God and ourselves, we are given a new start. However, a new start requires something for us. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we're using the version that's in Luke. But in Matthew's version, we read, "Forgive us our debts as we have already, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." My Church of Scotland background coming out there. That was the version they used all the time. As part of our forgiveness, we are required to forgive others. We are required to forgive others. Not an option, a requisite. So, Jesus was silent before Pilate. The charges had no validity, and yet he went on. Are we prepared to walk Jesus' path, to stand for his standards, to ignore insults, innuendos, let's just wait before God, allowing his Spirit now to flow into us, that we might know his presence and his peace, that we might know his forgiveness. The peace of the Lord be with you.